Let me find Proverbs and we will pray. Okay. Well, Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word. And as we look at gaining wisdom, we pray that you would help us to have open hearts and open minds, and that we would apply your word to our lives, that we wouldn't just simply be hearers, that you would change us, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the title of the message this morning is The Rub of Influences. Let's see, why doesn't that work? Maybe we won't see it. Anything? Okay? Okay. Oh, we'll back up. Something rubs off, yes. Our son Stephen works at a company that makes dryer sheets. And his car smells like a dryer sheet. All of his clothes smell like a dryer sheet. And guess what? When I give him a hug, I smell like the dryer sheet. I'm not sure what flavor it is, but it definitely rubs off on whoever hugs him and whoever gets in his car. When I was in my early teens, I worked on a farm, and one of my responsibilities was working with pigs. And guess what I smelled like? Yeah, you guessed it. Something rubbed off. And that's just the nature of life, isn't it? Stuff rubs off. You know, that can be true of people. People rub off on us as well. I remember when I was in second grade, there was a guy in my class, and my mother said, "You shouldn't hang around that guy." And sure enough, he was a bad influence on me. I don't think I was a good influence on him. People rub off. In a positive way, I was grateful for my predecessor in Wisconsin Church Extension, a mission that I was director of for 15 years. I spent a lot of time and a lot of miles with Clyde Brogan. And his ministry attitude, his manner of life, rubbed off on me. I, in the process of my early years of ministry, spent a lot of time with him, and it was very beneficial. We rub off on each other. It just happens because of our contact with each other. And as we are in a series right now, God's Wisdom for a Foolish World, we are talking about wisdom and the whole book of Proverbs. And Daniel and I are working on that. How are you doing with the reading, by the way? You should be up to about Proverbs 27, and then December 1st you flip back to chapter 1 again, and you kind of move through again. I would encourage you to do that. And write some verses down. A verse that I was working on just recently is Proverbs 16:24. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul, healthy to the body. I remember, I don't remember Abraham Lincoln saying it. I'm not that old, but okay. He said, when you go to gather honey, you don't kick over the beehive. He meant we need to be kind in our manner of approaching people. I thought that was a very interesting statement by him. But here is this verse in Proverbs that I thought was a good one. But one I'd like us to all memorize today comes out of Proverbs 13:20, and that's our key verse for today. Let's say it together. Let's read it together. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Great verse. The New Living Bible says, walk with the wise and become wise, associate with fools and get into trouble. I don't know about you, that's been my experience. You walk with the wise people and you become wise, you walk with fools and you get in trouble, suffer harm. But that's the verse that we're working on today. You know, the story of Pinocchio. Oh, you feel familiar with that story of Pinocchio? It was written in 1883. I thought Disney wrote it, but no. That was long before Disney. I think Disney just kind of cabbaged onto a lot of stuff and put him into movies. But you probably remember the story that he was hanging around with the bad guys and went to Pleasure Island. And what happened when he got to Pleasure Island? He started growing the donkey ears and the tail and escaped. But he learned a lesson that the companion of fools suffer harm. Right? Yeah. You know, that's a fairy tale. But the reality is, some of us, or maybe many of us, have walked with fools and gotten ourselves into trouble. They have influenced us in the wrong ways. And we have experienced that ourselves. This particular verse is addressed to everyone. Walk with the wise and become wise. And there's a stark contrast between the wise and the fool. But I want to be sure that we have a distinction between the fool, which is a core character issue, and being foolish, which is an occasional lapse. Okay? There's a difference. The fool has that core character, and that's the default of our sinful lives, basically. We are born fools. As Christ saves us, we move in the direction of wisdom and the fear of God. Occasionally, and maybe sometimes more than we ought, we are doing foolish things. We say foolish things, we act foolishly, we have foolish attitudes. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're a fool, but we can be acting like a fool. But distinguish between the core and the occasional. You know, walking is a manner of living, isn't it? That's the way the Bible uses it. To walk in a way means a manner of living. And we have to ask ourselves, do we know people who are consistently and conscientiously applying the Bible to their lives? Remember, it's not just how much Bible knowledge we have in our heads. It's what are we doing in applying it to our lives. These people are walking in wisdom, as the Bible would describe it. So we need to find those people and ask ourselves, who are they and how might I learn from them? Write a few names down and get together with those people and talk to those people about verses and principles and commands that they've applied to their lives in situations that God has opened up for them, and they have seen God's working in those situations in a walk of wisdom. Also, reading or listening to biographies or autobiographies of people's lives who have walked in wisdom. And I'm thinking about people like Hudson Taylor and David Brainerd and George Mueller and Mary Slessor and Amy Carmichael and Johnny Erickson Tata and D.L. Moody and many, many hundreds of people to learn from in our past. We can be listening or reading stories, the life stories of these people who are wise. And we have to come to a decision point, though. And here's the decision, and I would encourage you, boys and girls, teens, adults, that we would say this together in our heart of hearts. Let's read it together just so we have it. But, you know, this is something that you have to do in your heart of hearts. I purpose in my heart, by the grace of God, to become wise by applying God's word to my life and by talking to and learning from wise people. You know, that's a choice. You can choose to live in a wise way or a foolish way. And we want to walk in the way of wisdom. We talked a while back about a working definition of wisdom. And the basic definition is the skill of living according to God's directions. I've expanded that a little bit in this way, that it's correctly applying the right biblical principles to my situation. Obviously, it revolves around some knowledge and then the application of that knowledge to a specific situation. That's kind of the package of wisdom, taking what Bible knowledge we have, applying it to a situation. That would be the walk of wisdom, and doing it correctly. Sometimes we get the wrong knowledge applied in the wrong situation, and things kind of get scrambled up. Marsh and I were shopping a few weeks ago, probably, and here I picked up some razors. You know, I got to keep the beard off. My granddaughter said my beard tickled. I didn't realize I had a beard, but something tickled. Anyway, there was a coupon on the package that said if you buy two, you get $3 off. Well, I only needed one. I mean, they last a long time, you know. Took it to the counter, or the cashier, and she took the label, or took that coupon off, and began to ring it up. And I said, wait a minute. I didn't buy two. And she says, oh, we're just doing these anyway. But you know, back the truck up a minute, as soon as she took that off, I was faced with a decision, wasn't I? Wow, I could get $3 off on this one package. Or I could say something. I happened to say something. And that doesn't mean I've done everything right all the time. I'll tell you another story another time where I really messed something up. Another sermon, okay? Got to save the illustrations. But you know, we're faced with stuff like that now and then, aren't we? We have a choice. Do we apply this here? The application of the knowledge that we have is very important. So, let's say it again. He who walks with the wise men will be wise, but the companions of fools will suffer harm. There's a contrast between these two. You'll see it frequently in Proverbs, and I'm sure that you've probably all seen it already as you've been working through that. And we need to exercise some caution. What we're doing today, what we're learning today, we need to be careful that we just don't walk around checking people off as fools in our mind, okay? Or what kind of fool they happen to be. Because the Bible talks about different kinds of fools. Some of you are old enough to remember Tony Bennett and Sammy Davis Jr. and the song, What Kind of Fool Am I? Well, normally the answer is a big one, but we're not talking about that. Let's think of our sermon today is the fact that the wise or foolish people will rub off on others, and we choose who influences us. Anything about that picture that you see? Yeah, one rotten apple. You know the proverb, don't you? One rotten apple spoils the whole barrel. Well, that's kind of true. Doesn't generally work the other way around. It's not all the good apples that's going to affect the rotten one. The time that Marcia and I spent in Texas, they had a different phrase. You put one wild horse and a group of tame horses, and what's going to happen? The rest of them are going to turn wild. You know, unless we're very, very intentional and very strong as believers, it's very tough to influence a group of unbelievers. One-on-one's big difference. And we can do that. But more often than not, we find ourselves sliding down the wrong slide rather than being the influence that we need to be. Well, as is mentioned, there's three kinds of fools in the books of Proverbs that we're going to look at today. And first is naive. In fact, the modern translations actually use these words. I think the King James Bible may have lumped them all under the one word fool, but we're grateful for the newer translations that distinguish them. But they're actually, they all have the idea of fool behind them. The naive and simple is a type of fool. The naive actually come out of Ephesians 4:14. I'll just read that verse to you. We're no longer to be children. We don't want to be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to teach us with or trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. You see, there's a danger to being children, danger to being naive and open to everything. Because Proverbs 14:15 says the naive believes everything. Proverbs 14:15, the naive believes everything, but the prudent man considers his steps. What happens when you believe everything? Kind of get confused, don't you? That's the opposite of stability. And the problem with believing everything is pretty soon you question everything and you never come to the knowledge of the truth. There's no discernment there. Everyone starts this way. We all start naive. We all start simple. And we grow, hopefully. But there are people today who are still walking around believing everything and not seeing anything. That's another quality or characteristic, is they don't see the danger ahead. Proverbs 22:3, it says, the prudent sees evil or danger and hides himself, but the naive go on and are punished for it. They're not aware of the danger. These are the people who are running the yellow lights, the red lights, and the barricades of life. You know, I don't know how many times people says, well, why didn't God stop him or her? Why didn't God stop me from doing that? Well, wait a minute. Didn't God put some yellow lights up and you see the flags and you went right by them? You put the red flags up and you went right by those, and the barricades up and you went right by those? Did I mention Pat Boone's daughter? Yeah? Okay. Sometimes I don't remember which illustration I used. She was walking down the aisle with her dad. And this came up later, if I remember correctly. She wound up with a bad marriage, and she wondered why God didn't stop her on the way down the aisle. A little late to be stopped? Did you run the yellow flags? You shouldn't have been going out with that guy. The red flags, the barricades. Did God ever say in His Word, you shouldn't be dating unbelievers? Yeah. Shouldn't be dating alcoholics and abusive people? Yep. Okay. Why didn't God stop her? What did she think God was going to do? Break her leg? Down the aisle? I don't know. You know, it kind of makes me wonder what people are expecting out of God in these situations. Why didn't God stop me? Well, does God's Word say anything about that? Yeah, it does. It says a lot about getting into debt, a lot about this and that. You know, a lot of life is in the Bible. It says the naive doesn't see danger, goes right ahead and gets in trouble. Proverbs 1:32 says the naive, 32. It says, for the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, and the complacency of fools shall destroy them. And this idea of waywardness means turning away from wisdom and knowledge. It's the idea of following the crowd or your own misguided inclinations. That's the turning away from wisdom. That's what Solomon's talking about. It's the wrong turn. You know, wrong turns can have long-term negative consequences. I remember I was driving shortly after I got my license, and it was the wrong turn. Fortunately, it made a loop. And I came back and I saw where I had been and made the other turn. I got home quite a bit later than I normally should have. And as soon as I told my dad where I had been, he knew the roads and, you know, understood that I wasn't just staying out later. I took the wrong turn and he knew where I had been. But you know, life can be like that. Boy, we can take some wrong turns. Sometimes marriages take a wrong turn. Sometimes debt takes a wrong turn for us. We spend too much on credit cards. We get ourselves in a big pickle as far as debt goes. Sometimes sex and involvement in relationships can take a wrong turn. I remember we had a video some years ago as we were working with the teens, and the speaker on the video said, you know, pregnancy might be the least of your problems. A incurable sexually transmitted disease may affect you the rest of your life, and your partner may kill you. You know, there are some very serious things that can be taking place in people's lives because of these wrong turns. And this is just the naive, the people who are open to everything. Well, what hope is there for them? Proverbs 21:11 says, when the scoffer is punished, the naive become wise. These people are capable of connecting the dots and learning a lesson. Psalm 19:7 says, the law of the Lord makes the simple wise. The law of the Lord, you know, we don't like to talk about law, but let's face it, the law is the guardrails of life. God gave it to us for a benefit, from keeping us from going over the edge. We tend not to like guardrails in our lives. We don't like people telling us what to do. And yet those boundaries are for our benefit. And he says if you apply these, you'll be seeing wisdom coming up in your life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If God put these laws in place, He either loves us and wants to protect us, or He's the biggest meanie in the universe. You know, people will look at it in both of those ways. Thank you, God, for these guardrails. Or, you know, people are shaking their fist in God's face. Psalm 119:130 says, the entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. So the Word of God is essential to move the naive or the simple in the right direction and toward wisdom and maturity. That's why we have Sunday school classes for all ages, so that we can learn what the Word of God says, that we can have the light of God's Word in our lives, so that we're not making these wrong turns. Well, there is hope. I just mentioned those. But we need to admit that we are naive or simple. I don't know the answer to that. And I need to learn. But, you know, getting that admission out of us is a tough thing sometimes. We need to study the Word with guidance. Peter talked about craving the Word of God like babies crave milk. And that's the type of craving that we need to have in our study. We also need to be walking with the wise. What people around us are wise, making the right decisions? The naive person needs to have some good and patient friends. They need to be guided and taught. And many of you are spiritually mature enough to be doing that and mentoring and discipling people and encouraging those who are spiritually naive. Now, what happens if we walk with somebody who's naive and they rub off on us? Stop and think about that. I'm not going to answer that question, but what would that be like? Might we be headed down some of the wrong turns as well if we're following the naive? It doesn't seem like they know where they're going. The second kind of fool in the book of Proverbs is the mocker or the scoffer. Obviously, a more serious issue. And the newer translations use scorner, mocker, scoffer. You'll see those words. And out of Proverbs 21:24, some characteristics. This person is a proud person. He's concerned about self, winning, and being right. Proverbs 21:24. Oops. 21:24 says, "Proud, haughty, scoffer are his names, who acts with unbridled or boundless arrogance." Mockers are, the scoffers are proud and haughty. A scoffer or mocker is somebody who is making fun of God, God's word, God's people. These people are proud and feel like they're right, their plans, their ways, their comfort is most important. So this is not a person to you want to be hanging around with. The other thing that's a real problem is that they're not teachable. Proverbs 13:1 says, "A wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. He thinks he knows it all. He's going to argue. His ears are closed. His mind is closed. He has no respect for God, for God's authority, for spiritual people who are giving him wisdom." Proverbs 15:12 says, "He won't go to the wise. He doesn't love his reprover." Again, the lack of teachability on the part of the mocker or scoffer. No respect for authority. Now there's another one, and I've lumped these two together, numbers 2 and 3. Let me back up a minute. The scoffer or the mocker is going to be a poor student, poor employee, probably poor spouse. Why? Well, if you've got somebody who's arrogant, proud, haughty, you know, and wants to win all the time, it's going to be a kind of a rough situation. So we need to be very careful about this attitude in our lives. Luke 16:14 and 15, it says, "The Pharisees were scoffing. Jesus said to them, 'You are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men. God knows your hearts.'" Whenever we're walking around making decisions and acting certain ways, and then we pat ourselves on the back saying, "I did the right thing," even though it might have been the wrong thing, and we're not teachable about it, you know, it's going to be real rough for relationships, isn't it? But these were the scoffers. Many of us know, and I'm sure you do, Psalm 1:1. There's a progression there. What does it say? "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of" what? "The ungodly." Remember, walking, the lifestyle. "Nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers," the scornful. Sitting down, the place of the judgment. You often find that seat of judgment is pictured in the scripture as a place to sit. And the scorner, the scoffer, the mocker, is sitting in judgment over God, basically becoming God himself. Pretty bad situation, right? Proud, rebellious person, consciously refusing to learn from God, God's ways. hardened fool. And I put the verse over there, Psalm 14:1. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. So we've kind of moved a step beyond the scoffer. Here's a person and group, and not that they're, all of these people are saying this, but they live as if this is true. But here's a couple characteristics. In Proverbs 12:15, he does what's right in his own eyes. That's what it says in verse 15. The way of a fool, and it's this word, or actually a cluster of words, is right in his own eyes. But a wise man is he who listens to counsel. There's actually a cluster of three words from this particular category. And the idea of all of these words is being thick-brained or thick-headed. Ever heard that expression before? And just kind of thick-headed. Well, that's not a real good term, biblically. If you're thick-headed, you are certainly shaded in the direction of a hardened fool, biblically, doing what's right in your own eyes. Now, we're not talking about intellect, attractiveness, being cool. You can be all of those things, and you can still be a fool. That's what I think Solomon's trying to get across here. It's amazing how sometimes the neatest people that the world thinks are the greatest, the coolest, most attractive, are biblical fools. Are they rubbing off on us? This idea of thick-brained or thick-headed has to do with the moral area of our lives. Sex, ethics, truth, relationships, and also the spiritual area of our lives. Our relationship to God and other people on a spiritual level. So it's a pretty serious thing. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. Proverbs 19:3. He blames God for his problems. It's interesting that he says there is no God and yet turns around and blames God for his problems. You ever find people do that? Proverbs 19:3 says, a fool subverts his way and rages at God. In other words, his own actions have gotten him into problems, and yet then he's shaking his fist at God. God, you're being mean to me. That's a fool. Proverbs, or Psalm 14:1, we've already mentioned that a fool says in his heart, there is no God. Now stop and think about that, how arrogant that is. In order to be able to say that with truth, you'd have to stand outside the universe, be omniscient, and say, there's no God around. Okay, so obviously these people can't be doing that, because no one can do that. I think they're just trying to avoid God. This fool hates wisdom and instruction. Very early, chapter 1, this is the key verse to the whole book, and chapter 9, verse 10, where it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Here, chapter 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But notice what it says in the second line, fools despise wisdom and instruction. They hate it. Now, there are very well-educated fools, but they hate God's wisdom and instruction. This is for the soul that chooses not to learn. And then Proverbs 29:11, hot-tempered and arguments, 29:11. Same word for fool used here. 29:11 says, a fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back. Chapter 20, verse 3, it's an honor for a person to cease from strife, for every fool quarrels. So the idea of arguments is true of a fool as well. In fact, a verse that I didn't put up there in chapter 17, verse 12, you've seen enough nature movies to see this particular thing carried out, at least to the mother bear. It says, better to meet a mother bear robbed of its cub, of her cubs, than to meet a fool in his folly. How dangerous would that be? I don't think that would be good either way. Some of you are hunters, you've seen the bears. pretty dangerous situation. Now, that's what Solomon was saying. These guys are dangerous. Remember that early slide about who rubs off on who? Okay, pretty serious stuff about who's rubbing off on who when we talk about fools. the naive, the scoffer, the hardened fool. We have to make some choices, don't we? What hope is there? Well, Proverbs 3:34 says, God scoffs at scoffers but gives grace to the humble. God can change people's lives. And I think of Nebuchadnezzar, Manasseh, two kings that were very proud, did a lot of damage spiritually to people around them, and yet God humbled them. They bowed the knee. They said, we admit that you are God of gods and Lord of lords, and I confess I was wrong. And God restored them. So it is possible, but not likely, shall we put it that way, to meet scoffers or hardened fools and actually see them come to Christ. I mean, it is possible. Maybe some of you have come from that background and God saved you. Praise God. But it doesn't happen too often. Well, here's a quick summary. The naive, they're open to everybody. Open to everything. The mocker, this is a lifestyle. He chooses to scoff at authority and God's ways, morally and spiritually. The hardened fool is dull and hardened in the area of spiritual things, morals, ethics, so on. If you walk with them, boy, there's a trip hazard there, isn't there? You know, as Proverbs 13:20 says, what does that say again? He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. I want you to memorize it now, okay? Who are the people that influence me? Who are my companions? Who rubs off on me? Who influences my thinking, my behavior, my attitudes? We stop and think of our friends. Maybe that's one circle of people, but you know there's another circle out there. The media personalities, sports figures, politicians, educators, and the list could probably go on. You know that the majority of these people, and I'm thinking more than 51%, okay, are fools. Stop and think. Is there any fear of God in their eyes? No. You know, wisdom cannot be attained where God is not honored. These people who are so educated and so suave and so beautiful and this, that, and the other thing, so talented, biblically, are fools. They do not honor God, so there's no wisdom in them. If they rub off on us, even though we might not be friends, we have no contact with most of these people, but they are rubbing off on us because they are role models, aren't they? You know, most of the teachers, the educators on every level in the public schools would fit this category, as well as this one, the devaluation of man through evolution. You know, why are we aborting babies? Why are we moving in the direction of euthanasia in various states? Because of the devaluation of man. You know, that's certainly something that's not biblical. It comes right out of evolution. You know, man was created in God's image by God, and anything less reduces his value, and man's disposable then, isn't he? The moral openness in immorality of every kind, recreational sex, homosexuality, doesn't make any difference. It's just out there, and people are approving it. It comes on television into our homes every day. Devaluation of morals and mocking marriages. I mean, how many marriages do you see intact on TV or in education or amongst the politicians? You know, the laws of our land, even though our politicians may be, they're influencing us in indirect ways by passing laws that are not ethical or moral or just. You know, that's how they influence us. We stop and think about the rebellion that's going on and the anarchy that we see in our country today. Everyone's doing right in his own eyes, defying the law. Now, granted, there are a lot of laws that we don't agree with, but as soon as you move in the direction of anarchy, we are back in the days of the judges that says everyone was doing right in his own eyes, and we follow the fools. So we have to ask ourselves, who is influencing who? This is really spiritual warfare, isn't it? Satan wants influential people to affect us, and do we see them for what they really are and their influence over us? You see, we have lives to live in a spiritual way, and we will influence people in a positive way if we are solid in our faith and that we're walking with the Lord. The bigger danger is people are rubbing off on us and rubbing our spirituality off. Now, please don't walk out of here and say, Paul's thinking you can lose the righteousness of Christ. No, you're positionally sound. You're 100% righteous in a position with Christ. But in a practical way, we can be pretty well shredded in our righteousness, can't we, if we hang around the wrong people? And that's what my concern is. And that's why we've talked about this today. Let's say it again. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Well, do you have a decision to make today? I hope you make that decision at that decision point that by God's grace you'll walk with wise people, that you'll apply God's word to your life. What would happen if we hang around the simple, the scoffer, the hardened? We're going to become like them. They're probably not going to become like us. We have to be very, very careful in our walk. We need to encourage each other as we live our lives so that we don't fall into the deceitfulness of sin. It's tricky. It's not going to be real plain. And as we move in the wrong direction, we can be on the slippery slopes, can't we? So we want to walk with wise people. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word and for your instruction. We pray that we would just be cautious in our lives, that we would walk with wise people, that we would be wise people, applying your word to our lives, and that we would be able to encourage others to do likewise around us. Father, help us not to be unduly critical of the unbelievers because they're simply walking in the dark and doing what they are naturally prone to do. Father, we've come out of that background. Help us to be wise in our approach to evangelism and contact with other people around us. And Father, we pray that the light of the glory of Christ might shine through these earthen vessels where we have this glory. Lord, we ask that you would use us to affect people's lives in a positive way, especially through this Advent season. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.